Sorry, don't want to be impolite. Yash is just explaining an important point. I hope I don't interrupt her too rudely. I want to greet all of you affectionately. Welcome. This was our first session. Now we will directly move into the second, but it's really nice to see you interacting with each other, talking with each other. As you go through the retreat, please get to know all these beautiful people, also those whom you have not yet, whom you don't know yet. You can introduce yourself. Hello, I'm Mr. Super Excited. No, your name, you know. and in this way, I think a lot of, let us say, growth and inspiration takes place outside of the teaching sessions when we reflect with those who are going with us through the retreat about our experiences. It doesn't have to be points of the lectures. It could just be how I'm going, how through my experience, how I'm processing everything. And when we do this, we will look through the lens of another, and we will see something which has perhaps escaped our attention up till then. Good, we will now have the Inner Arjuna session number 2. It is also on how Arjuna learned to act in this consciousness, witness consciousness, which helped him to deal with the greatest loss, that is when Krishna, the Son of the Universe, left, and he stepped at that time into another consciousness, which saved him from desperation. You know, he had the personal association of the Lord. We will start our session by singing Jaya Radha Madhava. If you have your song sheet, if you don't have your song sheet, you can just take a snapshot of someone who has. Yes, they know very well. Yes. Does anyone need a song sheet? I think Vipin, you need a song sheet. You have. Good.
I think you can sing Jaya Radha Madhava. Just very brief. No?
Oh, Hare Rama,
sing one more time now. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Ganga Mata Jaya, 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 Ganga Mata, Ganga Mata Jaya, Ganga Mata. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandi, Hari 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 Go. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. To chant much more. The inner Arjuna, and what Arjuna had to still learn. After the dharmic epic battle of Kurukshetra, the five Pandavas, that is, who knows the name, who's the oldest? Yudhishthira, then? Bhima, then? And the twins? Yes, wonderful. They went to Hastinapur to rule the world according to the principles of Dharmas. They were the beloved emperor and his brothers. And Krishna, who had been Arjuna's charioteer left for his capital town, which was on an island in an ocean. Who remembers the name of this town? This is for participation, no? It is for thinking. So someone, Hari Namananda, has saved us this morning. Dwaraka. Please say Dwaraka. Yes. So after some time, Yudhishthira sat reflecting on his throne. It was clear to him that Krishna had used him and his four brothers as instruments to install Dharma in the world, which had totally gone out of balance. And yes, with his advice, Arjuna was able to lead the dharmic forces to victory. Now Yudhishthira reflected. We were part of Krishna's mission. I would like to know what is his further plan now after this. So he sent Partha, that's one of the many names of Arjuna, please say Partha, yes, another name, Falguni, yes, but Krishna Sakha means the friend of Krishna, no? Very dear friend. They had a very, very tight relationship. It is said that even in his sleep, Arjuna would say, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Almost like a lover never gets tired to pronounce the name of his or her beloved, the lover of God. So I was in that exalted consciousness. And Arjuna had gone all the way from Hastinapur to Dwaraka. It took him 2 weeks because he traveled by chariot. It was quite some way. But after 7 months had passed without any news, Yudhishthira called Bhima for a discussion. It was one morning. Yudhishthira was sitting there. He had very sharp features. He was really thoughtful, very aware, very conscious. He was tall and built. Tall build. It's nice if we can understand a little bit how the emperor looked. He was fair complexioned. His eyes extended very far in the direction of his ears. They were like lotus flowers. Bhima, on the other hand, was gigantic in size. If Yudhishthira was tall, Bhima stood like a tall teak tree. Those who know wood know teak has one of the hardest wood. Yes, Bhima could take blows without even stopping his eating. It is described, he was once attacked while he was on a meal. He said, just let me finish my meal. And it was an asura who pounded on him. He said, tika, tika, let me just finish my meal. You know, he was a giant in size. He had big hands and he was very beautiful also. He had a golden complexion. He didn't look like an Arnold Schwarzenegger. So Yudhishthira addressed his younger brother, Bhim. 7 months have passed. There were no messengers who came riding on horseback from Dwaraka with news. What is with Arjuna? Why is he not returning with the message? I sense that something very bad is happening because my left side of the body is quivering. When you are male and your left side has some nerve movements and it's tinkling, it's inauspicious. If you are a lady, if your left side tinkles, it means it's very, very auspicious. Soon something wonderful will happen. When I go on the road, the donkeys come and don't leave me alone. They circumambulate me. The horses are weeping. Shrieks of owls and crows make my heart tremble. The winds blow violently and the clouds rain blood. What is happening? The seasons are irregular. The summer is cold. The dealings between people are full of quarrels, and friendships are mixed with cheating. The deities which I see when I visit the temples seem to cry and about to leave the altar. What times are we coming into? So Bhim is a short term of Bhimasena, he also had noticed these highly inauspicious omens. And he had no words. Suddenly, this happened in the court, where many courtiers, ministers, and so on, there was a commotion in the back, and Arjuna entered. Arjuna usually had a commanding presence. He was the general. He was dark, but exceedingly handsome. His head was full of curly locks. And once he entered somewhere, even the battlefield, everyone went, "Oh, Arjuna has come." Have you seen people when they move into a place, everyone notices, and they don't even need Facebook? Have you seen such people? You go, "Oh, who is this? May I know your good name?" They have a commanding presence, a charismatic effulgence. You can't buy this. It comes from inside. And normally he had an extremely focused glance. Very determined he looked. But when he entered, what had happened with him? His eyes were downcast. His face, which usually looked so effulgent, was pale, like a German. He looked extremely anxious. Yudhisthira knew something was in the air. He greeted his brother affectionately and he said, "Arjuna, how are our relatives in Dwaraka? How is Satyaki?" Arjuna looked back at his brother, whom he respected, and he was numb. He could not say one word. "How is Pradyumna?" Vasudev, the father of Vasudev. Arjuna did not answer once. Arjuna, I notice something wrong with your health. And please now see Yudhishthira's inquiries. He wants to find out the causes of Yudhishthira wants to find out the causes of Arjuna's unhappiness. As you will hear his questions with an attentive mind, which is so typical for this group, you will see that some of the things might be causes for whenever you are not so happy. Were you perhaps disrespected? Or could you not protect those who were looking up to you for guidance and for help? Have you taken your meals alone without first taking care of feeding children and elders? It is known, even when the Pandavas were in the forest, my dear everyone, Yudhishthira would feed somehow or other 1,000 Brahmanas daily. He had no means, but somehow he understood, I can't just be a selfish person, I need to give. If I'm not giving, if I'm just taking from this world, I will be unhappy. So do you notice in Yudhishthira's inquiries, he avoids one question? Any one of you was so thoughtful, what is the question he avoids? He has asked about everyone in Dwaraka except for one person. He has asked for all kinds of reasons for unhappiness except for one. What is he not daring to address in his inquiry? Krishna, what could it be? Ashish is saying, could it be that something is with Krishna? Something. Because as long as he is present on the planet, it's auspicious. Kali cannot enter. Kali means the age with it, which we are presently experiencing. Finally, Yudhishthira says, you have not answered me, brother. What is it that troubles your heart? Are you perhaps feeling empty? And Yudhishthira starts to lose his composure. Are you feeling empty due to losing your most intimate friend? Has the sun of the universe set? Where is Krishna? So at this moment, Arjuna breaks down crying and he sobs. And for the first time, he's able to speak words. Words come out of his heart like clear water from a spring. And finally, he says, yes, Krishna has left the planet. And one thing, I am the same Arjuna still. I have the same Gandiva bow, whose mere, you know, when I draw the string and just make bing, everyone took notice. I have the same arrows, the same horses, But I was defeated on my way from Dwaraka here. And I have realized that it was only Krishna's mercy who used me all the time as his instrument. By his mercy, I defeated the mighty ruler of the cosmos. Who is he? Who is the Lord of the universe? I hear Indra. I think it's my wishful sense. Jagannath is always ready, yes, Lord of the universe. I defeated Indra, the king of the Devatas. I was saved from the anger of Durvasa. All these achievements have become null and void in a moment. The sun of the world has said. My dear everyone, in bhakti we do understand that we have been granted certain positions and certain things of influence by Krishna's mercy. We have, some of us have muscle power like Shiv. Some of us is a flutist like Ashish. One of us is incredibly rich, Hari Namananda Prabhu. He could buy all of Jordan in one moment. Yes. We have all been granted with some feathers which we have on our head. But if we all the time look at our borrowed feathers and don't understand this is given to us by Krishna so that I play a certain role in this drama, the cap will sink on our head. Like this, and blind our vision, that we can't see anything any longer. Yes, there's blindness due to intoxication, but there's also blindness due to pride, and we forget everything is only given to us by Krishna. Sorry to be so graphic, but perhaps this is the only thing you remember from the lecture. So I have to be a little illustrative, no? Now in his darkest hour, Arjuna did something which is so important for all of us. All of us will cry when a beloved person leaves us. There will be a day when our father and mother die. My father and mother have just died within an interval of 3 months. They wanted it like this, not that they were yogis, but they were very close. Gaur Krishna is amongst us. He will put ashes in the Ganga at Mayapur, in the ocean of Puri, and where else?
Just in Mayapur.
But they will make a pilgrimage to Puri, Vrindavan, and Mayapur. They will immerse the ashes of their, of his very, very wonderful grandfather and grandmother. Can you imagine how Arjuna must have felt when he had lost his father already, but when now Krishna, his dearmost friend, left, he was devastated. The grief was immobile, immobile, making him immobile. Aka, what is immobilizing him? He could not move, he could not even speak. That was Arjun. So he decided, let me step a step back and detach myself from these feelings which are immobile, making me immovable. I have to give solace to my people. I have to take care. I have to do my responsibilities. At the time when we are overwhelmed, and also normally, it's good to step back. I want to say this in the words of Leonardo da Vinci. From time to time, he was a painter. Yes, you remember? Yes, he was a painter. What is his most famous painting? I'm just trying to find out what is my audience. What? What? Mona Lisa. Oh yeah. I thought it was the Last Supper. Vincent is from New York. He knows. It is not so important, but I'm just trying to see if you are, you know, to activate your firing your brain. From time to time, step back. Take distance. Because only from the distance you can see the painting with new eyes. You can see where it lacks harmony, where there are parts in the painting that are no longer necessary and need to be painted over. Step back and watch new. This is what we try to do at a retreat, no? Step back and see what we have overlooked in our lives. So Arjuna, he says, it's from the Bhagavatam, how he stepped back and moved from that level where he was troubled by his mind and his sadness to a transcendental level, and looked from there and found solutions from there. He says, I'm now attracted to Lord Govinda's instructions that relieve the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Could you say, what are Govinda's instructions? How are they called? They've entered world literature. What is the famous instructions of Krishna? Yeah, you have book distribution marathons with this book. What is it? Bhagavad Gita. Who of you has read the Bhagavad Gita? How much? Completely? A chapter? What do you remember from your reading? I won't ask this question, but see, we get moving, everyone. It's a deep, 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 deep science. So, in all times, that means past, present and future, when you read the Bhagavad Gita, it relieves the burning heart at all places. Gandhi used to say that he finds solace in reading the Gita. No, it's a modern man. whenever I have to go to the dentist, I fear the dentist. This is one of my big weaknesses. I'm just not comfortable at the dentist's chair. So Venice, now it's not so bad any longer, but it used to be really bad. Then I read the second chapter, and usually when I've read this, I feel this power of the immortal words of Lord Govinda, Krishna. He relieves the burning heart. There's no anxiety any longer. And Arjuna says that as I do this, as I read this wisdom of the Gita, my burning heart becomes soothed, and all the trash, he says, he uses this word trash. Trash is another word for garbage, or as the English people say, rubbish. You know, it just goes from my heart because of Krishna's presence in these immortal words. And he says, I'm situated in transcendence, devoid of the entanglement of birth and death. Boom. This is a high language. It means he is no longer disturbed by the ups and downs of life. This is wisdom of entering the witness consciousness, stepping back and moving into another space from where you can see things in an equipoised way. To make this very simple, I have developed a technique which I call the emotional traffic light. I would like to end this telling you about this emotional traffic light, how it works. When something happens to you, don't react immediately. Something which is disturbing you, but like a car who goes on a road, watch for the sign red. Stop. I don't react now. I don't say a heavy word now. I don't. I'm not disturbed. I'm taking a step back. Pause for a moment. Next comes when you have an emotional traffic light. What is the next color after red? Yellow. Yellow, yes. Is it also in Saudi like this? Saudi? Red and green, no yellow. Acha. Thank you for telling me. Yes. That's so usually in London we have yellow also. The yellow is the most important phase, by the way. It's when you and the emotional traffic light is after you have stopped and paused, you begin to use your human endowment of reflecting about the situation. What could be a more enlightened response? Maybe you should bring the yellow color into these areas. How could I not act so impulsively? Anger and jealousy and all these things, envy, come very quickly to us human beings. But when we pause and go to the yellow phase, we think, what is a more favorable, beneficial response? And then you go into green. The yellow face is more important than all other faces, and it is missing in Saudi? I will Google that. I can't imagine. There's only red and green. Whoa, this means people are more passionate there? Yeah. Yes. So this is the emotional traffic light. Please apply this today. When you are outside of your situation, then outside of the classes or of the programs, try to, in your speech with others, try to see what would be the most beneficial speech when you are going for the Ganga bath today. I understand it is the man's turn. When you enter the Ganga, try to not just see, oh, it's cold, and that's all what you see. Try to enter with yellow. Oh, what else do I see? Where do I see the sacred element here? So on. No? And in this way, enter the witness consciousness, where you see all the many things which you overlook. It's also good for psychology. Did you know that between the impulse when something happens and your reaction, there is a gap? It is in this gap where all your human freedom lies. But many of us, when there's an impulse, oh, we are hungry, then eat, sometimes more than necessary. Or when there is an impulse, you were offended by someone, then they say something back, which is aggravating the situations. I once saw a very saintly person who was hit with a stone by an aggressor. And the saintly person just looked at the aggressor. He did not react. And the aggressor melted down and went into a shop and bought him a glass of mineral water. Excused himself. Entering the witness consciousness would have avoided divorces. It would have avoided that friendships break up. It would have avoided that we make many mistakes. Entering into the witness consciousness would have saved us many, many times. I request you in the end to just turn briefly to your neighbor and talk about what you have understood from this morning's meditation and also the brief talk on Shakshitvena, the witness consciousness. No? Just, you will see, some good points will come up. No? So Hare Krishna, very, very nice. I'm very, very impressed and amazed by your listening and your digesting. Do you see how sharing about a philosophical or deep point enriches our own understanding? Do you notice something? It is we see through the lens of someone else. And yes. I got it, no? This is very nice. It is a Vedic thing. It's called Anumodan. But now is not the time to talk about this. We are very happy. We have finished our morning session. I would like to request Vanunadini to just summarize, and it's good to always know where are we. Remember, we are on a retreat. It means to step back and look anew. No? So.
Can you hear me? If you allow me, I will be sitting because I would like to show you a few slides. But yes, welcome to the second day of the retreat. Yesterday was our first full day, and Hari Ramananda and myself reflected at dinner time that it feels like we have already been here for a week and not just one day. Because it was so full of experiences and deep spiritual impressions and insights, and Maharaj also feels you're such a wonderful, wonderful group. He's giving many retreats, but he really sees the two very sincere and taking it very deeply inside. So, here on this slide, you see something. It's Latin. It's one of the few phrases that I remember from my Latin studies. Repetitio est mater studiorum. I think it's very clear what it means. It says that repetition is the mother of all knowing, of all knowledge, of all wisdom. This is very important maybe to remember, because when we reflect, we deepen what we have learned, what we have studied, and in this way, we, like Maharaj said, imbibe it much more, and according to the the science of education, the more we reflect, the more even we come from a like challenging perspective, like, oh yeah, but how do I see this in relationship to that, or you know, just engage with the contents, the more we really start to own it. And then, as the Vedas say, we start to realize the knowledge. So I thought to first go with you through the point what we learned here. So our first point was the Sankalpa, you remember? So we're repeating now. So we had the question, why am I here? So you can also maybe remember your Sankalpa just briefly today and see how does it align with who you are today. Like yesterday you had some experience, you can also adjust your Sankalpa a little bit. Then we said the retreat is going deeper, and we have the three levels as we mentioned yesterday. And then there is also another important reflection on these levels, which I think you would like to know. So a Western school of thought says that progress happens in a linear way. So we always start in one point or on one step, and then to move on, we climb to the next and the next. So it goes linear. That's the Vedic school of thought. Western school of thought. But the Vedic school of thought says that progress happens as a spiral. So we start, we learn certain things, but we deepen them. We go deeper and deeper and deeper. It's a way of seeing within rather than seeing outside. It's not about, you know, getting faster, getting stronger, getting more intelligent, gathering more knowledge. It's about reflection, it's about imbibing, it's about contemplating, so that we come really to the realization of the soul. So that's why yesterday we presented the three possible ways how you can be on this retreat. And already Maharaj took us yesterday a bit deeper when he reflected or taught us how we can come to understand who we really are. And here are just a few questions that Maharaj yesterday mentioned. So we started with a meditation, who am I? When Maharaj said, who am I in this world of change? It's a good question to reflect about. Who am I when everything of me is gone? Like, who am I without my identifications, without my talents, without my wealth, name, glory, whatever we have? Who am I in my essence? Then you remember Maharaj mentioned how Srila Prabhupada, his last words to his German disciples were, first understand that life is eternal. It's very important to understand this fact. not only by knowing it, but really deeply, deeply reflecting about it. And then you remember in the evening, Maharaj told us the story of the princess and how there was this voice within the princess who was nagging her, let me free, or when will you finally release me? So the whole day yesterday was about become who you are. And today, as you see, we're moving yet a step deeper. This is now, okay, we understand I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, but how do I practice this? So Maharaj mentioned by taking a step back and observing, first of all, life situations, getting spiritual knowledge to see with the spiritual eyes, but also taking a step back internally and even observing our own thoughts, feelings, and like Maharaj now said, emotional traffic light, wanting or actively, proactively choosing to act in a more spiritual way. So this is the simple formula of the emotional traffic light. So why do we say all of this? It's because if you just maybe take a look outside of this room, you will see that, or we will all see, we are here at the banks of Mother Ganga. It's not that we are coming here so often, and all together we have maybe 3 or 4 days left. And this river, as we heard yesterday, she is not an ordinary river, she is a goddess. And she is venerated among the Vedic scriptures as the personality who takes away our sinful reactions and who purifies our consciousness and brings us closer to Krishna. She gives us moksha, liberation from the cycle of birth and death. This is why in Varanasi, you all know, there's many burning gods. So bodies are being burned, ashes brought to the Ganga, like we heard about Krishna's grandparents will also be. So in this way, she gives us liberation. So Maharaj also said yesterday, the Vastu Shakti, you remember that word, he related it to Kirtan, but Ganga Devi has the same Vastu Shakti. So she also purifies us and brings us closer to Krishna. So, because today we will have the Ganga Arati, as Sayanam Prabhu said, in the evening at 4 o'clock, it would be nice if you can take some time and just reflect about these questions from yesterday and also think about today, how can I practice this witness consciousness myself? Because for the Ganga Arati, you can bring with you the prayers, you can bring your reflections with you, you can pray for a spiritual journey, you can pray for other people. So it's good to reflect and make it a proper experience, like a real deep spiritual experience. So see, the questions will help you to reflect anyways, to learn, to deepen the knowledge, but also they will help you so that today at the Ganga Arati you can really come, you know, with deep thoughts and prayers and so on. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. It's very helpful to listen. Yes, Harinamananda Prabhu will give us now a guidance through the day.